You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Carolina Gold sure was good on Nana Sports Barbecue yesterday at the Big Spur Golf Tournament. The national anthem presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue Daily here. You can order it yourself, CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com, BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs. So we went to break with two, and we've doubled in size in just 3 minutes, joined by two of the best in the business, the great golden tones of Mike Morgan, who was sleeping with Todd Walker on the call of the Georgia-Clemson baseball game a couple of years ago. I know that because I was watching it as, in real time, Mike was asking Todd a question and he nodded off in extra innings of that ball game. And the great Brad Crawford, who, of course, has watched every single SEC spring game. He has taken the notes. He's called the coaches. He has compared and contrasted the sizes of these players in mid-April to where they were in January. And he'll be able to tell us today who will win the national championship. What's up, guys?
How y'all doing?
Good afternoon.
Morning.
Fresh off the pickleball court for me.
Mm. Oh, pickleball. All right. There nice. You go. Mike, are you a pickleball guy?
I am. I got into it during COVID when they shut down all the basketball gyms. So I play in a league in Atlanta, and we had a pickup crew that would play 2-3 days a week. All that was shut down, so you couldn't play any basketball. And then all of a sudden got introduced to pickleball by one of the guys in the group, and I'm like, come on, man, what am I, 80? I'm not playing pickleball. He's like, trust me, Mike, you'll like it. And I did. I caught on quick. It's a fun game. You can play it with it's really a co-ed game, because I mean, there are 60-year-old women that can wear out a 30-year-old guy who doesn't know what he's doing. It's a fun, and you can play it at all ages till the end of time. It's not nearly as frustrating as golf. So, yeah, I'm down with pickleball. Absolutely.
It's funny you said that, because Smoke's wife, Kristen, who's a year younger than I am, so she'd be 37. She plays with like 60-year-old women in their neighborhood, and she says that they will literally whip her rear end from time to time.
No doubt.
And JB, that's how old I am, 37. I just played a bunch of mid-60s, and I went like 2-4 in doubles. So,
well, if it makes any of you feel better, Hale's group only shot 2-under yesterday and a captain's choice. So that's like shooting like 150.
It's not real good.
No, it's not real good. It's not real good, but we sure do love Hale.
Sorry, I missed that. How was it? How was the turnout? How was morale?
It was fantastic. Luckily, Pat DeMarco is on my team, so I can watch him pump a golf ball 330 yards down the course and right onto the green on a par 4 3 or 4 different times. Yeah, you just walk up, just tap it in for eagle and move on.
Yeah, Always nice to have a guy that can crush it off the tee. And typically those guys are not good with their short game. There's a guy that I play with who's a former like Division II football player, and he looks like Dustin Johnson, and he crushes. He's actually competed in long drive contests. But, man, you get him within 150, and he is lost, absolutely lost. So sometimes, you know, it's fair. People all have their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, that's true. Not for Pat. I just stayed in the cart on four or five different holes. I just let him do all the work.
Kind of got it in his blood, right? Like, I mean, that guy was born on a golf course, right? I mean, he's probably been swinging it since he was like four.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff. All right, let's get to spring ball of this foursome here. I was the only one actually in attendance, I think, for South Carolina. But we're going to start with the Gamecocks. Brad, how long do we have you till, by the way?
About 12:35-ish, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll start with the Gamecocks, and then I want to move around the show. We got Mike till two, so Mike will get plenty in. But obviously,
Mike's still active too, so.
Yeah, exactly. So jump in wherever you want. But Brad, I'll make a blanket invite here. What'd you think about South Carolina on Saturday, or what can you take from that?
I'll give you what I liked and what I didn't like.
Okay.
I think Lenora Sellers looked seasoned in that offense. And honestly, I wasn't sure how he was going to look with the first team. You know, he's gotten the majority of the first team reps. No matter what's been said on the record this spring, I've been told, look, he's the guy. And I think he started off like six for his first six. Not the toughest throws to, you know, the second level and stuff, but he was very accurate, man. And 11 plays, 70 yards at opening drive was very impressive. You know, I've seen a lot of Gamecock fans kind of their interpretation of this team so far after spring is they might win some games on defense this season. I would agree with that. I think from the line of scrimmage on back, they look pretty good, especially at linebacker. Demetrius Knight, Charlotte transfer, really impressed me. He had that tackle in the hole in the first quarter where I'm like, man, I haven't seen a tackle like that in a couple of years, you know, where I think he chopped down Attaway might have been. And both running backs played really well, I think, in the spring game Saturday night. And the one issue that I still have a, you know, question about is who is wide receiver one on this team, you know. Is there enough playmakers at the wideout spot around Sellers to have a really big year? I think right now Josh Simon at tight end might be his most reliable, most athletic, and best target. I expect Josh Simon to have a really big year this fall.
Boy, yeah, I couldn't agree with you anymore. Less than impressed with the wide receiver group. Not impressed at all with the rest of the quarterbacks behind Lenore Sellers. I really don't. I'll be honest, I don't really think they're that good. I just don't. If he gets hurt, they're in a world of trouble to the tune of the fact that I almost think that Luke Doty should probably be the backup quarterback, but I know they want to play him at wideout. I think this offense from up front, we just don't know enough yet. I like the pieces. I tell you right now, Josiah Thompson is the best-looking offensive lineman they've had around here, maybe ever. I don't think I've ever seen one run out of the tunnel that looked like him as a freshman. I've been doing this a long time with Carolina. He's the best looking one I've seen, but he's a true freshman. So it's not like he's going to run out there and help him win a bunch of games this year, at least at this point in time. But to that point, I agree with you on the Simon. I think Simon and the health of Rocket Sanders, when he gets healthy and Beamer's assured everybody by early June, he's full go. Those two guys are your offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Rocket really needs to be healthy. You know, I've kind of heard some mixed messages on sort of where his shoulder at. The Gamecocks pretty much had him in bubble wrap this spring. He wasn't too active, never hit the ground, didn't take any contact with that shoulder. So, I mean, we had him at 24/7 Sports ranked as a top five running back transfer. And the Gamecocks need him to be that kind of player this season based on what's behind him. So Oscar Attaway too, he's a guy that I think is going to be able to catch passes out of the backfield. And y'all know Dow Loggins loves that horizontal passing game. One more drawback to Saturday too. I've watched probably 20 spring games. I've watched every SEC spring game so far. And there wasn't like but two passes thrown past, you know, 15 yards past line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And I know he said he's going to be super vanilla. Look, man, the opener's Old Dominion. Anybody saying he didn't want to put something on film, that's pretty absurd. I think right now we saw the game plan Saturday night was a facet of there's not many downfield threats right now for the Gamecocks. And, you know, they have to determine during fall camp who's going to be the playmakers around Lenoris.
Mike?
I agree with so much of what Brad just said. And I watched a lot of kind of chopped up versions of spring games as well. And there's only so much you can get really from quarterback play based on the fact that you're not going to take a sack. You're right. Not going to see a blitz. You're not going to make the decisions you would normally make when a 300-pound guy is breathing down your neck and ready to pile you into the ground. So you can tilt the scale, and most coaches tilt it to have the offense look good. Nobody wants a spring game where the final score is 7-3. That just sets your fan base in panic mode about the offense. So you can make sure to make certain guys gain some confidence and whatnot. And I think there certainly was some of that going on, but I didn't walk away from it thinking, oh my goodness, Lenoris Sellers is going to be great. And I didn't walk away from it thinking Lenoris Sellers is going to be a problem. I just think it's still the unknown. Like, my mind hasn't changed dramatically one way or another based on what took place on Saturday. I think the lack of a big play wide receiver is evident. It just It jumps right out to you. And I say this, and we'll do this later. I don't know where this cough is coming from. With the drive around the SEC, and I'll go over, like, the top picks from the SEC at every position. And when you look at the wide receivers, and of course we'll be in this group, but like in the first 2-3 rounds, the SEC is chock full of them. And it's the usual suspects. I mean, it's Georgia, it's Bama, it's LSU. It's teams that are playing for high things in this league. You have to have that. I think that position now is more important than running back, and Rocket Sanders is certainly going to be integral to this offense, but it's really hard to move the ball and score points against SEC defenses when you don't have threats on the perimeter. And I'm not sure just how good those threats are right now.
I think you're exactly right. Phil and I discussed as much just a little while ago. I'll be honest with you. I think the most talented receiver on the team right now, Nick Harbor wasn't there in the spring.
Yep.
But the most talented receiver is a guy named Mazio Bennett, and he's a true freshman. I mean, I watched him move Saturday, and it was very evident. Just like we watched on the defensive side, Dylan Stewart step onto the field. Look, I was there the first time that Jadeveon Clowney stepped onto the field. And you have to be very careful about saying things like this, guys, because it gets misconstrued. Nobody can really compare to Jadeveon Clowney ever until somebody goes out there and does exactly what Jadeveon Clowney did. But when I watched Dylan Stewart walk onto the field, it had that type of, this kid's a different looking kid type of presence. And then he went out there and he played like it. He's going to play, and he's not going to start game one, but he's going to play. And that defensively up front, again, it's a spring game. So, like, you know, kind of move on about your business, enjoy the beach this summer, and we'll reassess in the fall. But again, I've seen all these guys too, every spring, you can get a sense in the spring of what type of talent they do have talent on the defensive side of the football, and that talent better perform in the first 8 quarters of the year if they want to go 2-0 with a win in Lexington, Kentucky. Brad,
one thing I noticed too about Dylan Stewart, y'all remember the first few practices Jadeveon Clowney had on film at South Carolina, he was so quick to get in the backfield, he would often over pursue the running back. That's what Dylan did a couple of times Saturday night, and I'm thinking, man, if he has that quick of a first step around that tackle spot and get his backfield, that's going to really help, because the Gamecocks have not had a lot of guys the last 4 or 5 seasons who could, you know, get 3 or 4 tackles for losses and really, really end a drive before it starts. So I'm looking forward to seeing him play. Another freshman, Vicari Swain, played really well. JC and I were talking a few months ago, you know, would he play receiver at Carolina? Would he play corner, nickel, some kind of defensive back role? I think he's well suited where, you know, Clayton White's going to have him now, and he's going to be a guy that he's going to play a lot of snaps as a true freshman, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I thought the interior looked just as good, guys. Mike, I'll kind of switch it back over to you here. I know you probably don't necessarily know all the names like we do, having to cover it every single day, but TJ Sanders was a guy we knew about. He was the best interior lineman they had last year. The best interior lineman that I saw on Saturday was Tonka Hemingway. in his fourth year with the program. Mm-hmm. And then I'll throw this one out there too. There's a reason why Monkel Goodwine was recruited to Alabama and he was a top 100 player. He looks good. So from a depth standpoint, they haven't had this depth in a while. As long as it stays healthy, when you go from end to end, like if you had to throw a four-man front out there, and it won't always be like that, but if you had to, you've got 12 guys that are actually going to play football, according to some sources that I have. So, Mike, we haven't seen that at South Carolina on defense in quite some time. You cover the rest of the SEC. You call them up close and personal. Georgia, Bama, y'all name the good defenses. They just funnel guys in. They save minutes. Yeah. They save minutes, and then they've got them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's so, especially on the D-line, like you don't have to rotate linebackers a bunch and you don't have to rotate DBs a bunch. And most teams now are playing a ton of nickel with the way offenses have evolved. But the teams that have the luxury of rotating the front four, it's such an advantage. It's absolutely a massive advantage. And when I think of year by year, you know, what's the biggest edge that Georgia and Alabama and in some cases LSU have, and they're talented everywhere, but the biggest advantage is a defensive line, both in the terms of talent and depth. And they just, you use the word funnel, they just keep funneling them to the NFL. High draft picks this year's no different. And Carolina has blips of it here and blips of it there, just like most SEC programs, most every program. Like, that's, Carolina's in the more common boat, but if you want to make the next level, that's where everybody wants to be, but it's just so hard to get there because it's a lot easier to pick up a, you know, say a quality running back than it is a Dylan Stewart. There's just, those guys are harder to get in the recruiting process or the, even the portal process, which is what Lane Kiffin was able to do. There's just more of a premium on those. And so you have to excel at other positions. We know Carolina's had a great track record of defensive backs, right? I mean, every couple of years, it seems like there's a first-round draft pick in that Gamecock secondary, and that's great. You want to keep that up, but you'd like to see more and more depth on the D-line, especially if you're going to have an offense that's not going to be the most explosive. And I don't expect this offense to be in the top third, let's just say, in explosiveness in the SEC.
Top third would be pretty generous, Mike. They're going to have to run the football to score a point. All right, so let's slide. We'll warp this into a conversation about the rest of the league. I thought, Brad and JC wholeheartedly disagree with you. He said you had no idea what you're talking about. He can't figure out why you have the job that you. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. But you wrote a column a couple of weeks ago about, I think it was the most important game maybe for each team in the SEC.
It's Kentucky week two.
You said Kentucky week two, and I 100% agreed with that. And not to make this about being, we have you as a guest, so maybe I should let you do all the talking. But I agreed with that because of where it stands. It's the second game of the year, and then who they have coming after this. If you want to LSU walks in the next weekend, and then after that, you've got Akron. If you want to have any crack at winning, say, three of your first four, you have to win that game, in my opinion, and then we'll see what happens from there, and for other reasons, but I'm not going to waste my time on that. So again, you can't take a ton from spring games, but from an athletic standpoint, like, you've also seen Kentucky play their spring game. Can you compare and contrast what you've seen out of both spring performances from the Wildcats and the Gamecocks?
I mean, I think talent-wise, JB, they're very close. Team talent composite has the Gamecocks roster like maybe 17th or 18th best in the country. Kentucky's like 23, 24. You know, you've got two first-year stars at quarterback, transfer Brock Vandegrift, and he's playing at home. This is going to be Lenora Sellers' first career road start. Kroger Field every now and then can get pretty loud. And I think the Gamecocks went in there 2 years ago. South Carolina played well in that game, but Kentucky also had a backup quarterback start, I think it was. They had a couple of turnovers in the first half that, you know, Gamecocks kind of salted it away late in that game. I think the winner of that game has a chance to go 7-5 or so this season, get to a bowl game. And, you know, the winning team's fan base will be happy at the end of November. If Gamecocks lose that game, then the likelihood of them starting 0-2 in the SEC and Shane Beamer's fourth season is high based on LSU's talent level and Nussmeier at quarterback coming to Columbia. So this is a huge game for Shane. I don't like calling any games must wins in September, because I've seen the Gamecocks before have a solid start to the season and then, you know, kind of falter late. We saw Colorado last year start 3-0 and finish 4-8. So not every game in September is big, but that's a winnable road game for South Carolina. And as long as I follow this program, winnable road games usually aren't, you know, in the same phrase, same sentence structure. So that's a game that Gamecocks can certainly go there and play well. But, you know, we're not going to see much from Old Dominion. And if the Gamecocks go to Lexington and lose like a 17-7 type ugly game, then there's going to be some heat on that offense.
There you have it. We're having this conversation in a little bit of a different sense than we have in years past, because the Kentucky-South Carolina winner every year has determined or has helped determine where you finish in the SEC East. Well, that's gone. You know, this could actually help. This will help determine where you finish in the overall SEC, which could be eighth, could be 13th. I mean, who knows what it could be. But at the end of the day, also, I think this win for both of these programs will help you determine who's actually going to, as Brad just said, pretty much go to a bowl game. And so I think it's probably both of these teams you could probably circle it as must win, quite frankly, in week two. Have you seen Kentucky's spring game? I know you keep up with them pretty well, Mike. Have you seen them? What are your thoughts?
No, I wasn't even sure they had a spring game. There was talk about Mark is so anti spring game that I wasn't even sure they were going to have anything resembling one. He is not on the spring game train at all.
Bandwagon, yeah.
I was keeping tabs on, and Brad, you can help me with this. Do we have a landing spot for Dane Keith?
Not yet.
The wide receiver for Kentucky. I mean, that's a huge loss in the portal if he's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming he is if he put his name in the portal, right?
Yeah, that's been the rumor, Mike. Unless it happened today, he was not in the portal last week.
So he's not in the portal.
Not that I know of. There's okay. Like three Kentucky wideouts that are in the portal.
Yeah.
But obviously Dane Key is the, you know, lightning rod for that offense. One of them.
Yeah. I mean, is Barion, I'm just trying to keep the reason I'm
he's
going with
there.
All this.
Barion Brown's there, yeah.
Okay. Because you start losing guys like that, and I don't know what Kentucky's left with. Ray Davis, of course, they're do everything back. The transfer from Vanderbilt, they struck gold with him last year. He almost single-handedly beat Florida with his running. He was a tough matchup for SEC defenses around, and that's what Kentucky does. The strength of their team has never been the passing game under Mark Stoops. However, they've always been just good enough. They've always had those guys that come up with key receptions on third down that, you know, are a pain, and I'm just wondering what they're going to look like before I really have a strong feel on what they have. But I couldn't agree more on the importance of the game. And yeah, I don't like to say must win in week two either, because it just, first off, it sets you on. I think that's what JC's doing a little bit, to be honest with you. I think he's guarding psychologically. Well, if you lose that, or, you know, is everybody just going to quit on the season? I mean, that's silly. You shouldn't if that happens. But unfortunately for a lot of people, you know, the sky will be falling if you lose that game, because there's a lot of like Brad mentioned. I mean, the LSU, you're going to be an underdog against LSU. I realize they lost a ton, but you're probably going to be a dog in that game based on just what LSU does have coming back and the way they have been able to recruit. So you really don't want to lose a game at Kentucky, which I promise you is going to be like within 7 points. It has all the makings of a first one to get to 20 wins.
Gamecocks will be a 3.5 point dog or so in that game.
I totally agree. And like I could see it being a fourth quarter game. Does Lenoris avoid making a mistake? It's going to be less about Lenoris lighting it up through the air and more about him not making a key mistake, whether it's a pick or a fumble or just a misread. Not, you know, we've seen first year guys in those situations crumble a little bit. It just happens. It's human nature. Even 4 or 5 star guys tends to happen from time to time. But no, I think the game is going to be huge. And I think both of those teams, from a talent perspective, to Brad's point, will be on fairly even footing at that point.
Does anybody have any insight as to what Brock Vandegrift has looked like this spring?
I can tell you this much from being in Atlanta and hearing from Georgia fans and people that cover the team. I mean, Brock Vandergriff was not some guy who was like a disappointment, and that's why he didn't touch the field. He didn't touch the field because of the people ahead of him. But he was waiting to see what Carson Beck was going to do. If Brock Vandergriff was afraid of competition, he would have transferred a couple of years ago. The feeling was if Carson Beck, who probably could have been a second-round pick in this year's draft, if he went ahead and bolted, then Vandergriff was staying. Yep. And with all the hype on some of those other kids behind him, the feeling was that that was going to be the guy in Athens. So for Kentucky to get him, I think that was huge. I mean, Kentucky is now they're pretty much resigned to the fact that it's like, well, Mark Stoops and his group are saying to each other, we're not a program that's going to get 4 or 5-star quarterback recruits out of high school. So let's just be a portal quarterback program. And I think that's realistic for a lot of other programs too. We're not going to get that kid that's just going to be lights out. There's, you know, Tim Couchin walking through that door again. So we got to go ahead and just year by year, we're going to be a player in the quarterback portal process. And sometimes it works. In the case of Will Levis, I would argue that it did. Last year, it did not. So we'll see. But I think Vandergriff actually will be just fine with Kentucky. Now, what he has to work with, that would be my question mark. I don't see like top-notch talent right now at the skilled positions for Kentucky.
Brad, I know we're on short time with you, and I'm sure over the next few days there's plenty of content coming from your hands for us to read via 24/7 Sports.
NFL draft, man.
The NFL. That's one of my final questions for you. I was going to squeeze briefly before that elsewhere around the SEC, especially now with Oklahoma and Texas. This is their spring, first spring as a member of the Southeastern Conference, almost officially. Any major takeaways, any standout performances that you think are worthy of carryover into August and then September?
I'll tell you what, man, about a month ago, I ranked Arch Manning as the number one backup quarterback in the country. And he threw for 365 in the spring game. So don't tell me you can't throw downfield in a spring game, because right. You can. You have to have guys to go get it and a quarterback who can launch it. But no, Texas and Georgia are my top two teams in the SEC. I'm still really bullish on Ole Miss too. I mean, I think Ole Miss has top five talent. We talked about, you know, Mike was mentioning elite SEC teams are able to rotate guys on the defensive line. Lane Kiffin's never been able to go 6 or 7 deep up front, and now he can. You know, they got the linebacker Princely, long last name from Florida, and he's been the best player on defense this spring. I mean, Billy Napier would love to have him back right now. I'm coming out with a story tomorrow on coaches I believe are in win-now mode. Not necessarily all hot seat coaches, but guys who, you know, heading into maybe fourth or fifth season need to show some momentum. And I actually have Shane Beamer on that list. I think his pass-fail this season is going to be 6-6 or under. You know, can South Carolina, with this roster he has mostly assembled through the portal, get to a bowl game? And that's why I have that week 2 game against Kentucky so important, because I think if Gamecocks finish 5-7 this year, obviously Shane's going to return in 2025, but the fan base isn't going to be too happy. There's going to be some restless fans if, you know, back-to-back years, USC misses a bowl game.
I can't say I disagree with any of that either. They're restless now over spring game. All right. And then with the draft coming up this weekend, final thoughts on Spencer Rattler, not necessarily where he lands from an organizational standpoint, but maybe what round?
I think Rattler is going to be a early 3rd-round pick. I would actually take Rattler before Bo Nix. There have been some, you know, murmurs about maybe him being a late 1st-rounder, Bo Nix, that is. I don't like that at all. Michael Penix is a guy that I think if there's a 5th quarterback taken in the 1st round, he's going to be that. But I'm excited to see where X is going to land. You know, does he get taken by the Panthers in the 2nd round? You know, does he go ahead of Keon Coleman, another guy that I think is a freak at the position from Florida State? So I think there's some day 2 wide receivers who are going to be like Jim high end steals in this draft, and X is one of them. I don't think he'll be a 1st rounder though.
How many Gamecocks go on Thursday through Saturday?
Three.
Mm. What's the over under there? 2.5
Yeah, so. I'll go that's over like to 3
Yeah.
3 Yeah, but 2.5 is probably the right number for if you were setting this in Vegas. I'm sure somebody is.
Who's your third?
Could be Knox.
Yeah.
7th round.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Just based on what I've read and followed.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all kind of, they all have interesting cases. I do feel like somebody out there with a late round pick would probably be willing to take a flyer on Marcellus Dial because of South Carolina's history with putting that position group in the league. But what do I know? Nobody asked me. So,
well, it what's funny too is, so you've got a couple of former Gamecocks. You know, Marshawn Lynch is like a projected, I think, fourth round. And again, a position that has been so devalued in the NFL. And then Jaheim Bell, who thought, you know, that the grass was greener. I mean, he certainly didn't enhance his draft stock at all. You know, he's projected mid to late round guy coming out of Florida State. He wasn't exactly the integral guy in that offense. They loved their wide receivers and threw it to him often, and they loved their running backs. So he could have absolutely balled at Carolina last year, struggling for weapons, struggling for Rattler to find somebody not named Leggett on the field. He went to Florida State. What did you really gain out of that? I mean, I guess the NIL deal is better. I don't know. But you certainly didn't do anything to enhance your draft stock or put up better numbers in Tallahassee.
I mean, he did gain 7 more wins, but.
Well, there is that. But I don't think that's why.
It's the old school answer.
Yeah, that, exactly. I wonder. Jim, the old school answer. I don't think that's why these kids do it anymore.
No. I wonder what Mario. Oh, I did get some intel today on Omega Blake. It wasn't positive, but I'll just leave it at that. He
He's at ECU, right?
Well, no, he's in the portal now.
Portal, yeah. He went to the portal last week.
Mm-hmm. He's back in the portal.
Yep.
And I was just told, you know, hard to deal with. Thought he was going to show up and be wide receiver one. ECU has some talent at that wideout spot. I'm looking forward to seeing what Mario Anderson does at Memphis. You know, he's playing behind a quarterback who's like a 3-year starter there. And the Tigers are one of those teams that could get that G5 spot in the playoff. So, yeah, I think we might see a good year out of him.
I'll tell you, when I go over the NFL draft list at the 1 o'clock hour, I've never seen so many Missouri players at all positions, but they are going to be ravaged on that defense. They've got defensive players all over the draft. The guy who led the SEC in rushing, he might be like 7th round, right? Yep. And, you know, they've got a couple other players, but that would scare me a little bit, actually, if I'm a Missouri fan, because I don't think that's going to be replicated, you know. And I realize they picked it up in recruiting and they got all this NIL money somewhere now, and they're definitely stepping up their game, but they're not going to look the same this year on the field. Just talking about Gamecock opponents now, Missouri is not going to be the same team it was a year ago. They might still win games. They might still fight for a playoff spot. They might do all those things. I just don't think it's going to be the same caliber team as it was in 24.
Yeah, it's hard to lose a, you know, 1,700-yard back and still, like, have the physicality play that you have up front. Luther Burden, I mean, he's a first-round pick, though. He is legit.
And yeah. Cook, look, Cook is a guy, again, the fans booed him early in the season, and his head coach had to go on in front of a podium and say, quit booing our guy. You know, he's actually the right guy for this team. And he turned out to be very right for his team. He doesn't make mistakes, can make enough plays. He's deceptively fast. I love that term. Mm-hmm. And so I give him credit, but I'm just telling you, defensively, I don't think, and they lost their coordinator, I don't think they're going to be as good as they were a year ago.
Yeah, if you would have told me last year that Eli Drinkwitz would have put Ryan Day on the hot seat after beating him in a bowl game, I mean, come on.
I know. That's along with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the beauty of that top 10 coaches list, Brad. I'm sure you saw it as well. Where the ESPN had a panel of people, and who knows who it was voting on it, and there's Ryan Day in the top 10. I'm like, Ryan Day is one more loss to Michigan from getting fired. There's no way he keeps his job if he loses four in a row to Michigan.
I think Brian Kelly, man, is one of the more underrated coaches. He beat Saban year one. He fired his defensive staff after winning 10 games. You have to be elite to do that, you know?
Yeah.
He just lost his running back about 30 minutes ago. John Emery's in the portal.
Okay. Yeah, he's been former five-star. He's been hurt a little bit. And then he plucked Eli's, you know, best, as Mike mentioned, he got Blake Baker from Missouri, their DC. So LSU's a team. I'm surprised they held on to Harold Perkins, by the way. I mean, there's no telling how much money he's making in NIL. Well,
they completely misused him last year. This year that the talk is they're going to put him back as just the pin your ears back, stand up on the outside and rush the QB. That's what he's good at. That's what he needs to do. And last year you had him thinking and doing other stuff, and he had one of the most disappointing seasons of anybody.
I don't want to see Harold Perkins in coverage covering a tight end.
No. The guy's a game wrecker. You got to let him eat, and that's what they're going to do this year. It'll be a different looking defense in Baton Rouge.
It's one of the more interesting schedules to lead off the 24 season as well. They play more teams from the state of California in the first month than they do from the SEC. They play Southern Cal and UCLA, which is pretty strange.
It's going to look ugly for Lincoln Riley if he goes to Vegas and, you know, gets mollywopped by LSU.
He's going to. LSU's going to beat him. It's going to happen. That's my prediction. That happens, and then South Carolina beats them 65-3 in Columbia.
Let me ask y'all this question before I head out here. So of all the elite head coaches without a national championship, who would you say is closest to getting there in 2024?
Why'd you have to do that?
Sarkisian.
Yep.
Sark.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm not even saying he's elite. I'm just saying
he's
the right guy for that job. And I think Texas is going to find – I think they're actually going to love the SEC. There's a lot of people hoping and pulling and predicting that Texas is going to be humbled in the SEC. I don't know. I think Texas has found its stride.
I mean, it must be nice to need two defensive ends. You go out and buy two elite defensive ends. You know, the haves and the have-nots, fellas.
It's a different deal.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I heard some pretty wild stories this weekend in Columbia. Some of this stuff that's going on is really just pretty disheartening. Hey,
did Juice Wells have a catch in the Ole Miss? I don't know what it's called. It wasn't a spring game.
You can't call it a spring game.
In the field day?
Flag football slam dunk contest or something?
Midnight Madness?
Ole Miss field day?
Yeah,
I think he finished first in the potato sack race.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's wide receiver three there. I tried to tell people, but I mean, Jordan Watkins and Trey Harris are legitimate pass catchers.
And that's my point. Going back to the Jaheim Bell, like why do kids leave? Is it because they think they're going to win more games or play? It's money. It's just follows the money. That's why these kids are bolting. It's not an indictment on your coach or your fan base or, you know, the restaurant selection. It's flat out which bag is bigger. That's where we are in college football and basketball.
Yeah, it's crazy. People don't want to hear that.
G5 programs are being raided. I talked to a lot of G5 coordinators and assistants, and like they have no idea if their best linebacker is going to be there in the fall right now. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
We're going to play it. Since you mentioned it, Phil, do we have that? We'll play it in the one the cut that I from Cole Kublik. There was
no, interesting... I did not get it uploaded into the studio there. Yeah, but
all right, if you can see if let me see. Not now. You don't have to play now.
Yeah,
but,
no, I'll work.
But there was an interesting cut, Brad, about you mentioned the Texas spring game, and obviously Quinn Ewers barely played. He's going to be the guy. He's going to be a first round draft pick a year from now in the NFL. But you got to give Arch Manning give him some breadcrumbs. So we're going to let you light it up in the spring game. Not to say he's not talented. He earned what he did, and he definitely lit it up. But what the point from Cole, and he got it from Greg McElroy, was that the future is Lane Kiffin, and the way he handled the spring game. And part of the reason is because, keep in mind, we're in a portal era right now. We're in a portal period. So you go out there and your backup quarterback or your starter, whatever, so-and-so lights it up. Well, now the next day, the phone is ringing and their teams are trying to take him away from your program in the portal. This happened, remember last year, I just forgot now who the quarterback was. The backup quarterback was for Texas. Malik Murphy.
Malik Murphy,
right? Like he puts on a show in the spring game, and all of a sudden everybody's ringing his phone. Like, we want you here. We're going to play you right away. So a lot of these coaches might start now showing you less and less of anybody they think that if somebody tuning into a spring game and they're all on TV and you can watch them on Plus and everything, oh, okay, this guy's actually pretty good. He's not going to play there. He's probably only making 75 in NIL money. Make a phone call. See how unhappy he might be. So we could be looking. Spring football games could be like just complete, not taken seriously at all. Just a complete joke, like they were at Oxford a Saturday ago.
Or we're going to start seeing them being played in early May when the second portal window has closed.
Well, that would make more sense. Yeah,
you know,
exactly. That would make more sense. Let's do that. If we're not going to change the calendar for the portal, let's change the calendar for the spring game.
Summer football, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. There's some people who've thought about it. You know,
Shane wants preseason games. I want summer football.
Let's play one like May 4th, and that's it. You know, I'm with you. All right. We said 12:35. It's 12:44. So we apologize. I don't know what you charge per minute.
No, all good, fellas.
Hey, you do great work. We always love having you on, my friend. And hopefully we'll get you back here pretty soon. I know that you'll be dishing out all kinds of post-spring stuff. So we'll continue to promote that as we do. And we're getting closer, Brad. We're getting closer to college football. Hang in there. You can do it. We got spring meetings next month. We got all kinds of stuff going on. We'll be there soon.
Colorado, North Dakota State, August 29th. If Deion loses to North Dakota State, look out.
Your son will be selling merch at the half if they're up 10.
You know what the early line is for that game? 6.5.
Wow.
That's trouble. That's trouble. Wow.
Yeah. Deion last week, he didn't care for the portal questions, did he?
He told reporters to go look at the guys that left. And, well, I looked at them. I saw four or five starters. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, four or five starters on a 4-8 team. You know.
He said, yeah, y'all haven't been watching practice, have you? Well, Coach, you don't let us into practice. Amen.
You know, if I was Travis Hunter's agent right now, and I don't want to start anything, but if I was Travis Hunter's agent, I might follow Jamar Chase's lead and sit out my junior year.
Mm.
He's a top five pick regardless of what happens this fall.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see that.
They do have a unique relationship. I mean, that's why
they do.
Committed to him in the start. So I don't see that happening. He doesn't strike me as that kind of kid, but it's food for thought because you're right. He's already proven enough to people, to scouts, like he's lock high first round pick. There's not much he's going to do to improve his stock. And we'll see if Colorado is another train wreck as they were for the final eight games of last year or not.
Mm. I thought they were going to win the national championship after the first game, according to a lot of the national media. All right. Thanks so much, Brad. Always love it, man. Always love having you, my man.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad Crawford, 24/7 Sports. All right, we've got to hit a timeout. Don't worry, though. The Golden Tones aren't going anywhere. We'll be right back.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's got to be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me. I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you
come. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It is 12:50, quick final segment here in hour number two. Welcome back to Inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barndo Co. and powered by our friends at Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com, where you can find a sweet, sweet ride. They can get you up to 28 miles per hour and get you going for 60 miles, up to 60 miles. Think about that. That's halfway between Columbia and Charleston, and the way that the traffic flows sometimes on I-26, it could take you 3 to 4 days to travel 60 miles on I-26. Why not just get into the get into the median and cruise on an
JV, Jamie? You're on the JV of team of traffic, okay?
Yeah,
try Atlanta for a couple weeks.
Well, yeah, but you know the thing is, at least Atlanta has so many people. It's not for lack of building an interstate that they can put people on. They've got 12 lanes, right? 14 lanes, 100 lanes, whatever it is. Feels like 100 sometimes when you travel through there. But here, we just sat around for 30 years and decided 2 lanes was plenty. And all while all these taxpayers kept giving them money. Hey, we kind of need roads. Ah, we need more people. But yeah, but we kind of need roads. Nah, more people. So anyways, now we'll just put a bike lane in, get you an electric bike, and that'll get you back and forth from Columbia to Charleston. ElectricBikesCharleston.com. A new top 25 yesterday came out in college baseball. I mean, come on, man. 1 through 4 out of the SEC. A&M, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky. And then there's Clemson at 5 and Duke at 6. I mean, it's just insane. Vanderbilt is up to number 11. South Carolina is still in there at number 24. So left on the Gamecock schedule this year, coming up this weekend, you got number 4, Kentucky, coming to Founders Park. Then they've got to go to Missouri, where nobody likes going. And then they'll come home, and they will host number 20, Georgia, and then they'll hit the road for number 3, Tennessee. I mean, dude, it is just insane. Carolina continues to have a pretty spectacular resume, although they were dropped 2 this weekend against the number 2 Arkansas Razorbacks in Founders Park in Columbia. But they have the second most quad one wins in college baseball, and they will welcome another top 5 opponent this weekend, guys. If they can get 2 of 3 from Kentucky, there they are. They're still hosting a regional. It's crazy, crazy to think. But
well, Kentucky finally showed they're human. They finally lost a series to Tennessee in a really hard fought series, competitive, 2 good teams. But yeah, Kentucky's legit. Like, I know it's. Yeah, they are. Whenever Kentucky has a good year, there's people that just have these natural doubts. Like, Kentucky doesn't belong in this party. It always comes back to, come on, it's Kentucky. No, you don't do what they have done to this point on accident. And they play a unique brand of baseball. They're a little bit old school. They'll move runners. They'll hit and run. They'll grind out at bats. They're not swinging for the fences every time out. They know that's not how they're built, but there are other ways to win baseball games. And if you follow West Coast baseball, teams, when they have a good year out west and make it to Omaha, whether it's from the Big West or the Pac, that's how they win a lot of games. That's how they really frustrate the hell out of East Coast teams. So Kentucky's got a little bit of that in them. Usually what their weakness is on the mound. They've had some very talented hitters go through Lexington and the last couple of decades, but pitching depth is not their strength. Now, they've had some major leaguers that have been in the rotation, but then you get to like Saturday, Sunday, and it's like, okay, time to knock them around a little bit. But this year they've had enough pitching to win a lot of big games. I think it should be a very entertaining series.
Well, that was the best team that Kentucky's played this year, Tennessee, correct, especially in the 3-game series. And
yep,
I mean, the Vols are really, really spectacular, but with that said, I'm with you. I mean, they were kind of discredited on that 14-1 league start because of the schedule that they had played. And just to read the schedule that they had played, for what it's worth, they opened with Georgia. They went to Missouri. They went to Ole Miss, they beat Alabama at home, and then they went to Auburn, and that's what provided the 14-1 start. Well, I'm not so sure. I'm a big fan of discrediting anything. Georgia's now in the top 20. Everybody in the entire league says they hate going to Missouri, and there are multiple reasons for that, but they went up there, even though they dropped. That was the one loss they had, by the way. They won the series. I don't care what Ole Miss is like. It's never easy to go to Oxford and win a series. And not only did they do it, they scored 37 runs in 3 games en route to doing so. And then they took down Alabama, who, by the way, is ranked 23rd and has been ranked all the way up almost to 10. And then they went on the road and swept Auburn. Now, Auburn is not very good, but we can't sit here every week, Mike, and say how hard it is to go and win on the road in the SEC and then discredit teams when they went on the road in the SEC. Right. So I'm not going to do that. No. Like, their 14-1 starts the best start in league play ever in the history of the league. So
yeah, they're 15-3, and they've played 2 top 25 teams in conference, and you mentioned them, Georgia and Alabama. So, by the way, as somebody asked, I think it was Craig, about Charlie Condon. And how does he hitting .483 this late in the year? How does this kid do half the things he's doing? That's also in the Love Chevy driver on the SEC. The numbers are historical. He's got a couple more home runs since we last talked about how good he is. It's ridiculous. There's a great piece. Was it Schlabaugh who wrote it? I think, who we know basically from covering college football. but he is in Atlanta, and he actually wrote a piece on Charlie Condon, which is an interesting read if you want to learn more about the kid. I've mentioned this before. He's a preferred walk-on. He's, you know what he is? He's the equivalent of Schrader of Missouri. Like, everybody told that kid his whole life, you're not an SEC running back. You're not an SEC running back. And then he just gets buried on the depth chart at Missouri as a walk-on out of a Division II school, and then he leads the friggin' league in rushing. And now he's going to have a shot at the NFL. Well, Condon's going to have more than a shot at the NFL. The latest draft boards now have him, many of them, number one, ahead of Caglione, ahead of some of the elite. There is no Paul Skeens in this draft, but there are some good pitchers, as there are every year. You might be looking at the number one pick in Charlie Condon. Pretty impressive.
Oh, there's no question. I know we're out of town. I was out of town. I'm back. We're out of time.
Get back into town. By the way, just to confirm, Dane Key is not in the portal. There were heavy rumors about that coming out of Kentucky. So expect to see Dane Key lining up against Gamecock defensive backs in week two. And he hasn't lived up to some of the hype yet. He's a legacy there. His dad played there. He's 6'4". He's got speed. But he certainly is. That would be a devastating loss. Just clarify. Of all the guys who are in the portal, he's not one of them.
Not Dane. No. Kentucky's an interesting case. We obviously will have a lot of conversations about the Wildcats as they are the first SEC opponent for Carolina football coming up this fall. But another very interesting situation with the OC, the quarterback. I mean, this is the same conversation every year right now with Kentucky. Another OC, another transfer quarterback. How's it all play out? I don't know, but we're going to find out pretty quickly. When we return, Mike is going to crank up a Chevy 2500 and take us on a love Chevy drive around the SEC. Baseball, football, basketball. We've got, by the way, speaking of basketball, Lamont Paris has hot grease in the pan right now. He is cooking, and the portal has not closed on the Gamecocks. They might make it even better for Carolina fans.
Josh Gray leaving. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and he's already been.
The NBA, Jamie.
He's already been.
Sorry, I'm not going to let that go. and that's a friend of ours who said that, who happens to be in the media. I'm just like, where are you hearing? Oh, he's going to make the NBA, Mike. He's an NBA player. I mean, I've heard it from several people. Yeah, 4 points a game. I wish him well. 7-footers lacking mobility that don't have any offense in their game. Those aren't that hard to get. What's hard to get is some of the 6'10 kids that can hit threes and can move like gazelles that you see playing in March. Those are hard to get. And there's a couple guys out there, quite frankly. I mean, they've already had one. The Butler kid from Missouri, who's fine. But there's a couple kids that would be better than Josh Gray the moment they walk on campus if Lamont's able to get them in that grease that you speak of.
We're going to talk about one of them. There's no doubt. A drive around the SEC when we return.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we get 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Colombia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington at the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium in the South Stands, just also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our tastes in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say. And so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company, Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in, because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, you know, the heart issue that, but you know, ultimately let a Big Ten stop, and they originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring, and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network,